Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. You're listening to The Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
Friend each hour tonight just to hang out a little bit, and a special treat for this 9 o'clock hour on Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's America's friend, the Cubs radio analyst, Ron Coomer. Ron, how are you and the family hanging in there? Hey, Coom? Okay, we lost Coom. We'll be checking back with Coom coming up in just a few minutes on Sports Radio 670 The Score. We have been keeping you updated with COVID-19, and if you need a mental break right now from some of the news, I certainly understand. I think we all could use a little bit of that. Like, I've noticed, even myself, sure, I go on Twitter, get the latest updates, certainly in the state of Illinois, on what's been going on and what our governor is saying. But I found myself this week, certainly over the last couple of days, I've just got to shut it down for a little bit. Now, in the first, I'd say 10 days, I was watching a lot of cable news, watching all the debates, and you watch one channel, you know what spin you're going to get. You turn on another channel, you know exactly what spin that you're going to see based off the exact same press conference, and it's completely different stuff. But I'd like to just take a look at the facts that we have been receiving. And as far as positive tests in Illinois, 330 new cases today. That brings the total up to 1,865. Three more deaths. So 19 total deaths in Illinois from the coronavirus. That 1,865 positive test number, that's 1,865 out of 14,200 tests, covering 35 different counties. So we're still hoping, and now it's still a waiting game too. You can't definitively say that they're flattening the curve until you're waiting at least a couple of weeks. There have been some fantastic guests throughout the day, sharing some knowledge with that. I know McNeil and Parkins had somebody on, I believe it was at 3 o'clock, talking about that. And I saw Danny tweeted that out from his Twitter account, the link to that podcast, if you want to check it out at some point, if you're looking for some more information. But as far as what we're doing here on The Score for you, certainly over the next, I'd say few weeks, you could say, is tomorrow night, we are going to be re-airing the Mark Burley perfect game from 2009. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be hosting it along with Chris Tannehill. The reason we're doing the show is because on that day, we produced that broadcast. I was on the board and Chris Tannehill was grabbing the highlights, and we both were scrambling that Thursday afternoon. It was a lot of fun, and we're going to share some stories, what was going on behind the scenes at The Score from that day. The first pitch should be just about 6:05, 6:08, somewhere in that range, right here on 670 The Score. So we'll do a short pregame. We'll air it starting about 6:07, 6:08. It's going to be a Burley-esque game, an absolute gem, so you know it'll be a quick game. And then we're going to do an hour postgame. taking your calls here at 312-644-6767. And Chris Raji will also join us, our old buddy, our old pal. Sometimes. He gets on everybody's nerves a little bit. So he's going to be it'll be a lot of fun as Chris Raji will join us and just talk about some memories from that day. And also Mark Burley's career. It's the list of players that in one uniform, you win a World Series, you throw a no-hitter, and then also a perfect game. There's three guys, three all-time guys, and Mark Burley is one of them. So I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night's broadcast. And we're trying to get creative, get through these times, and hopefully bring some entertaining programming to you guys. And what we're going to check in with Coom about coming up in a little bit when he's able to reconnect is starting next Wednesday, April 1st, we're going to be re-airing every Cubs playoff game from 2016, help you relive that and just have a bit of a diversion from what's going on in the real world right now. So we're going to be airing all 17 games from 2017. And I'm someone yesterday, I got caught up in it. I haven't been all in on these classic replays, feel like been there, done that. And knowing the result, it's hard for me to get into it. But I was all about it yesterday because I turned on MLB Network. At noon, they had Game 5. At 2 o'clock, Game 6 of the World Series. And then at 4 o'clock to 6, they were running Game 7. It got me all hyped. It was a lot of fun reliving some of those memories. So what we're going to do is kind of similar, but a little bit more for those 17 broadcasts starting next Wednesday. It's going to be a short pregame. Myself, Pat Hughes, Ron Coomer. We're going to do a postgame, but also we're going to be reacting a little bit during the game. We're going to jump on after the third inning and after the seventh inning. And you guys are more than welcome to be interactive, whether it's texting, tweeting, or calling in. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm getting some questions on the text line about Burley broadcast. Will it be on the radio.com feed? As far as I know, that is the case. Some of you may know that Major League Baseball prevents us from streaming the Cubs games or when we had the White Sox online because they charge people to pay for their product to get those online. But everything I've been told, and I know that's how most people are consuming the score right now. It could be through your smart speaker. You say, hey, turn on 670 the score from radio.com or through your phone on the radio.com app. So as far as I know, and we'll obviously let you know if anything changes, I believe it will be on the radio.com app. So if you're looking for that, that's going to be great to hear Ed and DJ on the call as everything builds throughout that day and just the buzz in the stadium. I'm sure probably 10,000 people were there, but you hear stories from 50,000 different people that were there on that day and the Dwayne Wise catch. That's going to be a lot of fun to go through that tomorrow. And just because also baseball is different on the radio. And I think we might be a little down in the dumps earlier in the day, knowing that tomorrow was supposed to be opening day. Every team has hope. The Cubs were all set to go up to Miller Park and face the Brewers, and the crowd would maybe be 50-50. How energetic that would be. And the White Sox, maybe they were going to start the season 1-0 since they were going up against the lowly Kansas City Royals. So hopefully that will make you feel a little bit better tomorrow night. Again, that broadcast starts at 6 o'clock with the Burley perfect game. And then the run of the 17 Cubs games, that's going to start Wednesday, April 1st. And it's not going to stop on the weekends either. And I'll make sure to let you know every day because the times do change a little bit when we have Bears All Access or over the weekend. I'll let you know on Twitter every single day when we're going to be starting those broadcasts. And you can follow me on Twitter at Joe0670, at Joe0670. And it's always going to be posted on 670thescore.com. Joe Ostrowski with you, 670 The Score. We're hopefully going to reconnect with our pal Ron Coomer and talk some Cubs baseball. Check in on Coom, make sure he's doing all right. And there's some interesting reports earlier today in the baseball world and how things might be changing, some things that they're considering in what's going to be a truncated baseball season, if we get a season. Hopefully we do get that. We'll discuss that next, and hopefully we do get Coombe, and we can talk about that with him. I'm Joe Ostrowski with you till 10 on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670, The Score, and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The payoff is lined to deep left. That ball is high. That is far. It is gone. What a first at bat as a Yankee. Ron Coomer drills a high line drive in the lower deck and left, and the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
There it is. That makes you feel a little bit better. I know people are going to be down tomorrow because it's supposed to be opening day. And we're not going to have that. But we will have a treat for you throughout the month of April right here on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Cubs radio analyst Ron Coomer. We have a treat right now because Coom is here. What's going on, Coom?
Not too much, Joe. How are you? Sorry for the technical difficulties. I think it's the Indian over here, not the arrow. I think... It's on, that one's on me down here, so I apologize. Don't know what happened. We were all good. I was listening to you, and then I went away, and so I apologize, but we got it fixed, and all is good. You know, we're healthy, and we're just watching, and we're kind of staying quarantined like everybody else, and, you know, we're just hoping and waiting to hear some of those calls again of home runs and green grass and a little pine tar smell and all of those things.
Yeah, no question. We're all working through it. It's strange. I'm sitting here in my basement doing a radio show, so there's going to be plenty of technical difficulties to come, and it's not on you. Like me, did you find yourself turning on MLB Network yesterday and getting completely wrapped up in World Series games 5, 6, and 7 from 2016?
You know, I did not watch the MLB Network. What I've been doing is I've been watching some stuff, some YouTube things, and just pulling up, you know, since we've kind of talked about this with Mitch and Pat and you and I and all of us going to kind of do this thing April 1, I've kind of gone back and I've started doing my own little research. And, you know, I get up in the early morning and I get a cup of coffee and I start going back on YouTube and calls that, you know, Pat has made or Pat and I have made or things that have gone on and just some videos, and it's just been really cool. I watched game 7 the other day. So I've been able to kind of go back and watch, and it's been really fun. I mean, there's some of the moments, don't they just give you chills? It's like you're reliving them all over again, right at the moment. So it's been pretty cool.
It was unbelievable. I had a show that started at 6, and that's exactly when Game 7 was wrapping up, and I was just going nuts sitting here in my office because it was some baseball, and I knew the result. You know, I was joking around on Twitter, mentioning a few things that were going on in the game, and people were still mad that Joe pulled Hendricks. I'm like, guys, it's all right. They won the World Series.
Yeah, it worked out, boys. It worked out. He had Lester. He had fresh arms all the way through. We were good. Yeah, there was a plan in place. Trust me. Even still to today, people don't understand that there was a plan in place. There really was. Believe it or not, there was. And it worked. It worked really well. It was fun.
Well, Coom, bringing us to present day, one of the many moments from that Game 7 that really popped out, I'm like, yeah, I remember it, and it was great. But with everything that happened, it kind of got lost in it. The current Cubs manager homered off Andrew Miller in his prime in Game 7 of the World Series.
Right. Unbelievable. I know. Yeah. You know, David had some kind of unbelievable moment, and coming in, I remember just the other day when I was watching, and I'm watching Johnny Lester warming up in the bullpen, you know, and Kyle's cruising along well. It's just one of those things where you got a fresh John, and why not have John in there then, and he's fresh, and I'm watching David warm up John, and David's firing baseballs back to Lester every bit as hard as Johnny's throwing them to him. And it was just funny. The look on the face, you could just, you know, it just took you right back. And it was fun. And then to watch David hit that home run, it was pretty cool. I've talked to him about it a few different times. He was my locker mate in Los Angeles, my last year in the big leagues and his rookie year. And then that last year, seeing him do that was something else. And now he's going to be able to put guys in position to do that for him as a manager. So, boy, talk about full circle and pretty cool.
Yeah, and speaking of going back in time, back in 1999, you participated in that All-Star game. And I was actually thinking about this, knowing that you were coming on the show tonight, because one of the many scenarios that are being thrown out there with baseball, we don't know about return date. Nobody really knows. But they're starting to look at different time frames, different possibilities. Maybe baseball is going to look quite different no matter how many games are played this year. And one of the scenarios was starting the season instead of having opening day, you start the season with the All-Star game. What would you think about that?
It would be interesting, right? It would definitely kick the season off. With a special note, how do you select the team? Do you get two team captains like they do in the NBA and let them pick their team? Do you have the managers pick? You know, who's to say? But there's something to be said about doing some things that are gonna, be uplifting and help the fans and help our game. So if they think that something like that would be cool to kick off, the season to just, make a fan experience, I'm all for it. We're going to play a lot of baseball, folks. I know that. When this thing is done, we're going to play a lot, but that would be cool.
Is there any number of games just in your mind where you think, okay, they've got to at least play 100 games or 120 games? Or just if we get baseball in any form, you'd be a happy camper?
Well, I don't really know where to go with that, to be honest with you. I really hope we can at least play at minimum half the schedule, right? I mean, that would be, that would be one thing. If we could play 100 games, it'd be great. If we could play more, better yet. I really think, though, this is just me being a baseball fan, not being a player, not being a broadcaster, just being a fan. I think we need to come back and play. I do. I think it's great for our country. It's great for the fans of our game. It's part of our culture. And, sometimes that's more important than championships and things like that with what's going on. I think baseball needs to be back on the field when we can and everybody's healthy and it's safe. So however that works out, we need to be back on the field playing this year and having the green grass and Wrigley Field and the positive vibes around, the ballpark and things like that. I think it's good for our country. It's good for people. And it's a great outlet for people to go to and just enjoy being around other people, because right now we can't.
It's been 2 weeks, Ron, and it feels like the last 3 months. I mean, just a few weeks ago, we're paying attention every day, every little nugget of news coming out of Cubs camp, and now we don't have any baseball. You've been doing this so long, whether you're talking about it as a player or a broadcaster, you've been acclimated to a certain schedule. And it was supposed to be an earlier opening day, but we were supposed to have opening day tomorrow. So how are you feeling tonight, knowing that, boy, I had March 26th scheduled, circled for a very long time?
Yeah, it's very, very odd for me. I can tell you that. I'm getting over the feeling a little bit now because you know what we're in, right? But I'll tell you, I remember I was in Phoenix and I was having dinner with my cousin who is a Chicagoan, and we were getting ready and we were talking about the next day's game in spring training, and it was going to be the Cubs Sox game. And he was going to the game as my guest, and we were going to be over in Camelback at the White Sox ballpark, and I was going to broadcast the game. And Zach Zaidman, who I was on with this morning, he had already flown in, and we were going to do the game. And I saw that, one of the NBA players,
Rudy Gobert,
the virus. Rudy Gobert. And all of a sudden, I knew right then and there that was going to be a problem and we were not going to play anymore. You just knew it. And I'll tell you, those next couple days were eerie. Of being around your place in Phoenix, no baseball, everybody kind of self-quarantining and going, you can't go anywhere, guy. You got to stay away. And it just, it was really weird. And right now, I've never been home at this time of the season without being scheduled to go to a baseball game. I can't ever remember not being ready to go to a baseball game. So it's a pretty odd situation.
Aside from some Cubs replays, have you been watching anything good?
We are watching. I am binge watching Homeland. Tonight was the Chicago, oh, nice. All the Chicago shows. So I'm watching that tonight.
I watch those with my wife.
Yeah. So Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, Chicago Fire. Med. So thanks, guys. Back home, you know, all the actors, we've met some of them, have come around Wrigley. So thanks. You're providing a great service for us. And you get a little, you know, because I'm in Clearwater right now. I haven't been in Chicago in quite some time. And I'm missing our city, I'll tell you that. And so I appreciate their shows and being able to see the neighborhood and, you know, neighborhoods and all of that. So, yeah, but Homeland, I'm binge watching Homeland now. Some of the nights are getting a little long because I'm sitting up a little too late watching that, but that's all right.
I think I stopped after three seasons. I might be getting back into Homeland with you at the same time. Maybe we can talk about that during our broadcast.
I'll give you a call in another 3 days and I'll be even with you.
Okay, perfect. You know, we haven't been, with all this stuff going on and so much NFL news, there hasn't been much talk about the team, even though we don't know when this is all gonna start back up. But just what you were seeing in spring training, is there anything significant? We knew about some of the new stuff, like Chris Bryant probably going to be the leadoff man for most of the time, but the roster seemed pretty set. Fifth starting pitcher in the rotation, that's up for grabs a little bit. But was there anything that was really jumping out to you that you thought was going to provide a different look for this team in 2020?
Yeah, I'm a very good friend, and I've known Joe Maddon for a very long time. You know, since the middle 90s, I've known Joe. And Joe and I have been friends. I've also been friends since 2003 with David Ross. And, you know, Joe leaving, you know, it's difficult. It's part of the business of our game, and that's the way things happen. But David coming in to camp was like a, you know, he brings this energy about him. And he wanted things to be a certain way. And I think, you know, from my time being down there, I thought he accomplished what he was trying to do and have crisp workouts and some energy. And he was bouncing from field to field all the time. And I thought everybody was kind of understanding that there's that accountability factor of, you know what, things have not gone well the last 2 years with a very good squad. So everybody's got to look in the mirror and be a little bit accountable. And I thought everybody was doing that. I thought David was bringing some very good energy and doing some things. So I really felt like even with the Bryant trade talk over the winter, KB was in camp, very positive, very upbeat, very happy. I thought, you know, Anthony was in great shape and great spirits. I really thought camp for the Chicago Cubs was going exceptionally well for all the changes that have been made and things that had gone on this winter.
How did Albert Almora look?
Albert looked very good. Him and Ian Happ both looked good. Albert, for me, was in very good shape. He was much smaller this year. And not that he wasn't in good shape before, but I think him realizing that his defensive skills and being able to run is probably more important than him trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark. So I think that was an adjustment he made. The other big key for him is to use the whole field and hit the ball the other way. And he was really working at that in camp and hitting the ball the right center. And him and Ian Happ were both, Ian was having a great spring too. You know, they were both really playing well, and they both know that their job is on the line. They're competing for the center field job.
Coom, one of my concerns, and this goes back to last year, around Craig Kimbrell, you need a more consistent Kimbrell. What they paid him, you need him to turn back the clock a little bit. And there was a lot of conversation throughout last year and into the offseason. Well, he didn't have a camp, so he's going to need a fresh start for next year. And, well, he had a camp, but now it's going to be stop, and we don't know how long they're going to stop, and then they're going to have to start things back up a little bit. Is this going to be – do you think this will be tougher on veterans or younger guys?
I don't know if you could put a blanket over one group. I think that's an individual thing, because so many guys have different issues or no issues at all, right? You know, some guys are a little banged up when they were going into camp or surgery in the off season or things like that, and this is going to be very beneficial for them, all this extra time. Other guys were really peaking. I thought Kyle Hendricks was peaking in the middle of camp. He really was. He had been in Arizona for quite some time. Kyle was right on the money. He looked phenomenal in camp. So is this going to be a little setback for him that he was so ready to go, and now we're going to spend 2 months without playing? Who knows? I don't think so, but, you know, I know he was really on a roll. Chatwood was really on a roll. For some of the younger guys like Elmora and them, I thought they had a really good game plan going into camp, him and Hap. They were both doing exactly what needed to be done, and they were having some success in spring. So I don't know if you could put a blanket over one group or another, but I do think it's individual. And you know, hopefully for the Cubs, a lot of the guys are doing their own workouts right now, and they'll get a couple weeks of training whenever we can get back.
Yeah, it was kind of quiet because the fan base was so disappointed in the finish to the season, but Kyle Schwarber maybe had the best half in the second half that he's had since he came up to the team. Do you think that can carry over?
Oh, there's no doubt. Kyle's an extremely talented hitter, and I mean extremely talented hitter. He's just tapping the surface of the hitter he could be. I really believe that. He is a major impact talent. So what you were seeing the second half of the season is him starting to figure out, if I do this, the results come, and this is what happens. So his approach in his preparation to his games, I think, got a lot better. And his plan of attack was very good the second half. And then all of a sudden, the results just came. You know, they were a tidal wave of results in the positive way coming into him. So to me, I saw the same thing in spring training. I saw the same work, the same type of work, and all of those things that we saw the second half. So it would not surprise me one bit if you have a major impact hitter in Kyle Schwarber right in the heart of the lineup, protecting KB, Riz, and Javi.
And you mentioned Chatwood, how impressive he looked in camp a couple minutes ago. It certainly seems like he's the fifth guy, right?
No doubt about it. Chatty's going to be, if he stays healthy through this period of time and everything works out, for me, he won the fifth spot. He's throwing strikes. His fastball is electric. He was still feeling for his curveball on occasion, but his fastball was electric, and he could throw it for strikes all the time. He's one of those guys with just electric stuff and just a great moving fastball. And if he just throws the ball over the plate, he's going to be fine. And he was doing that regularly in spring.
Kuma, again, we don't know what's going to happen, but it doesn't seem like we're going to have baseball over the next couple of months. We were obsessed with which guys from the core are going to be dealt, and we're going to start the season, and it doesn't look like any of them are going to be gone. All of them, whether we're talking about Contreras 2, Baez, Rizzo, they're all going to be there for the Cubs. With this truncated season, and you have to wait a little bit to see if you have a shot, to see if you're going to make moves at wherever they have the deadline, it seems, Ron, like nobody's going to leave, right? Because there won't be much time.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where there was a lot of talk in the offseason and nothing happened, right? No trades, no major moves coming to the Cubs or leaving. So you have the core intact. So we'll see what happens. This is a really, really talented group of guys that I thought underachieved the last year and a half, maybe. you know, the first half of the 18 season I thought was fine, and then they really underachieved that second half, and then you know, didn't make the playoffs. You know, had a tough stretch at the end of the season, tough schedule, and then last year just they should have been better. They really should have, and they weren't. Some guys took a step back. I think this team is going to take a major step forward and be a very good ball club. You have a World Series group, World Series championship group intact. That's, I think, very hungry and maybe even a little embarrassed at the way things worked out last year.
Coom, I'm really looking forward to next Wednesday when we start a run of 17 straight days working together, bringing back those 2016 playoff games.
Yeah, same with me, Joe. It's going to be the first time, other than just having this interview type process, that you and I will be able to work together, and then you throw in my partner with Pat.
Oh, seems like we lost Ron there, but yeah, if you're just joining us, what Ron was just discussing there is starting April 1st, that is next Wednesday night, April 1st through the 17th. Oh, go ahead, Ron, you're back with us now.
Nope, sorry about that, I don't know what happened, but yeah, I'm just looking forward, Joe. It's going to be great to work with you and to be back with Pat. Pat and I have already started discussing what happened in 16 and some of the stories and things we're going to get to. So I'm really looking forward to you and I and Pat spending some time together and going over, you know, some of these games and the highlights and the lowlights and the, you know, they just, it brings chills to me just thinking about it. I can't wait to reminisce and go back to some of the stuff that happened in 16.
It'll be great. And I know we'll be providing the service a little bit we can to help our listeners out there, give them a diversion to get away from the real world stuff for a little bit.
There's no doubt. I think everybody, you know, this morning I went on with David Hahn. Zach was subbing in for Mully this morning. Mm-hmm. And I plugged in and I just listened to their show for an hour before I went on. I was up having coffee and you're just listening, and they did such a good job. So all of you guys that have been on the air day after day and bringing what you're doing to all of us out here, I'm telling you, you know, we're all thankful that we have the score and we have great people and we've got things to you know, people to listen to, because I've been plugged in a lot. So it's been great. And, you know, I'm glad to be a little bit of part, Pat and I and you, of bringing the 16 playoffs and World Series to some of our fans. We're going to have some fun, that's for sure.
Thanks, Coom. Enjoy your Homeland episodes tonight.
Yeah, will do, buddy. I may have a glass of wine and a little Homeland tonight. It's what might happen here in Clearwater. Joe,
no, that
look
sounds like
to
a,
it next week.
That sounds like a plan. There's Ron Coomer, Cubs radio analyst. Yeah, we can't wait to bring you guys, great Cubs fans out there, those 2016 playoff broadcasts. That's starting next Wednesday, April 1st, with Game 7 of the World Series on Friday, April 17th. It will be an absolute blast. Julie DeCaro's show starts at 10 o'clock. I'm with you another 10, 15 minutes. I did want to get into some Bears conversation next, because if you missed it, got away from the sports world, hectic times right now. I know a lot of people trying to teach their kids. You're the teacher now. You're working from home. You've got so much going on. It's tough to keep sports news during the day. And there's some significance to what looked like a small transaction by the Bears today. I'll explain on the other side. Joe Ostrowski with you. You've got the score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. You're listening to The Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
Had a lot of fun tonight. Lawrence Holmes in the first hour, 15 hour, 20 minutes, dropping by. Nick Costos in hour number two, and then you just heard from Ron Coomer right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Julie will be starting in about 10 minutes, and she's got some fun planned for you. I'll get to that coming up in a few minutes when we wrap up. But I wanted to get to the Bears here, because it may look like a small move, and in the grand scheme of things, it probably is a small move, but the Bears added another first-round pick. And it's a failed first-round pick. Go talk to a Seahawks fan anywhere. Look up this player's name. He's an offensive lineman, Ifedi, and you would think he would play guard, but he was a 2016 first-round pick, 31st overall from Seattle, and it didn't work out. So this is a theme here. Artie Burns, over the weekend, also a failed 2016 first-round pick, 25th overall with Pittsburgh. He's now on the Bears roster. They're hoping, with all the competition at cornerback, that one of those guys will work, and maybe they're right, and maybe it's going to be somebody else. Maybe it's going to be Tolliver, but they're hoping that'll work. But the theme here is, without much practice time, we don't know when training camp is going to start, in this must-win season, without a lot of money to spend, how about the beaten favorite? How about the guys that were expected to come in and do very well in this league and have just kind of fizzled out? They'll have all the motivation. We think our coaches are better than the ones that were here a year ago. That's been a theme so far this offseason with the Bears. With the holes on the roster, let's go to the talent. The guys that were scouted as having the most talent, and maybe it hasn't worked out, but we think it might be different here because of our coaching, because we are a winning organization. We're expecting to be in the playoffs at the very least, and we're going to win because Keem Hicks is going to be on the field. We upgraded the pass rush. Matt Nagy learned from his mistakes last year, and probably most important of all, we upgraded the quarterback position. So that's what's been going on with the Bears. And what's interesting is when you look at all the first-round picks they have on the roster, I was going over this afternoon. There are 9 first-round picks on the Bears roster. How many have Ryan Pace drafted? 9 on the entire roster. Ryan Pace has drafted 2 of them. 2 are gone. Kevin White and Leonard Floyd. Another one's Trubisky, who has been a big disappointment. If you don't want to say bust, okay, fine. We can wait another year. But he's been a huge disappointment. And Roquan Smith. Those are his first-round picks. So he's taking flyers on a bunch of guys. We should mention Kyle Fuller, but he was drafted before Pace got here. In 2011, Quinn got him in free agency. He was taken by St. Louis. 2013, Mercavius Mingo, 5 other teams, 6 overall pick from the Browns. He's been a failure. Cordarrelle Patterson in 2013 as well. 29th overall to Minnesota. 2014, of course, Khalil Mack goes number 5 overall. We know what he's done. Kyle Fuller, 14th to the Bears. 2016, Burns was 25th. Ifedi, 31st. In 2017, Trubisky, 2nd. 2018, Roquan Smith, 8th overall. So why are they doing this? Because the Bears haven't put together a core of their own with draft picks that they would have under control for a very long time and be paying very little. So they're forced to take flyers on all of these need positions when you spend a lot of money on the pass rush like Quinn. You're throwing $9 million guaranteed to a washed-up tight end in Jimmy Graham. And, hey, we've got 10 guys under contract right now. You got to think one of them's going to work out. Maybe we'll get one to work out or two. And I'll tell you, it's not going to work for most teams. And for longevity, it's not a great plan. But if the Bears hit on a couple of these guys, couple of these first-round picks that they're bringing in, and who knows if they're going to bring in more. If you can hit on Ifedi, if Roquan doesn't have any issues, and he's the stud you expected him to be, if Burns is your second-best cornerback, opposite Kyle Fuller, you get something from Mingo. Quinn repeats last season. If a couple of those things happen, I'm not saying hit on all of them, if you can hit on a couple of them, the defense is going to be better. The line play will be better. And you expect them to add to the line with one of those 2 second-round selections. So much went wrong last season with the turnover regression, with the Mitch Trubisky regression, just terrible quarterback play. Not bad, not below average. It was terrible throughout most of the season. If you get average quarterback play and you hit on a couple of these first round bust stats so far, Bears are going to be in a real good spot to win the NFC North. So without knowing what they're going to do in the draft right now, I'm actually feeling pretty positive about how they're building this roster. And I get it if you're not all in on Quinn. I actually understand. It was an age 31 season, probably his last contract. It's a five-year deal. So where's the motivation going to be for Quinn? But if he comes close to being the guy that he was last year and you have Khalil Mack on the other side, such an immense upgrade from what you were getting on the Leonard Floyd outside of the Packers games, because the guy was a no-show. They can talk about pressures all they want. He was an absolute no-show. He wasn't bringing what you thought he was going to be, so that's why they move on from Leonard Floyd. But the way things are shaping up, if you can be all right at that other safety spot, the other cornerback, with the pressure that defense is going to get on the quarterback, they should be all right. And if you just average quarterback play, it feels like we're going through this again, because it's the same conversation that we had a year ago. If you can just get average quarterback play, can Mitch take that next step? That's what we were saying a year ago. Well, with giving up a fourth round pick when you don't have many resources in the draft to work with, now I know you got all those late round compensation picks, but to give up a four, that's giving up a lot for what the Bears have to deal with no ones, two twos, and the rest, a bunch of late picks. So it's going to be fascinating to see what they do. They still have a lot of needs. Tight end's still a need, even though they added a guy. Wide receiver's still a need. Need to fix that offensive line. Need to get that other safety spot shored up. But at least they're creating some competition, and it looks like they're going to guys that they believed, the original scouting reports coming out of college, they did have the talent there, and maybe they'll find it with better coaching, better situation here in Chicago. Maybe. I'm worried about a guy that didn't work out with the Steelers, but there were some scheme issues, so maybe Burns would be a better fit here with the Bears. Just hit on a couple of those guys, and you'll be sitting pretty. They are, in my mind, one of the two teams that are going to be in the running for the NFC North, but we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. Please do not change the date of the draft. It's April 23rd. Let's keep it like that, NFL. It sounds like they are, even if the season were to get pushed back a little bit. My name is Joe Ostrowski. Thanks for joining me on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Appreciate my producer, Julio Roseo. Dealing with all the technical issues that we've had tonight, everybody broadcasting from their homes, so you know, it's tough to get it on the air, but we have been able to bring you hopefully some levity, just get your mind off of what's going on, what we're all dealing with every single day. Lawrence Holmes joined me in the 7 o'clock hour, bleeding into around 8:15, 8:20. Had a lot of fun with Lawrence. You can check it out on the radio.com app using the rewind feature. My buddy Nick Costos joined me in the 8 o'clock hour, and Ron Coomer with me earlier this hour on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Check out the Julie DeCaro show. That is next, 10 p.m. to midnight, first hour. A lot of Cubs baseball. Her podcast partners Evan Altman and Brad Robinson will be with her for the entire 10 o'clock hour, so Cub fans, do not go anywhere. Tomorrow night, I'm back at 6 o'clock with Chris Tannehill. We will be bringing you Mark Burley's perfect game from 2009 and sharing a bunch of stories during the post game. Chris Ranji will call in as well. We'll be taking your calls if you guys want to react to the Mark Burley perfect game that will be airing tomorrow starting at 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Julia's next. Talk to you tomorrow. Good night.
Nice to see y'all. I'm gonna go have a Chick-fil-A.
Be gone!
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.